First Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible said, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." You may be seated. Look down at your Bible in this section of Scripture. I especially want to call your attention to verse 22 and verse 23. The Bible said, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." He's talking about that initial cleansing that comes when the truth of God and the Spirit of God, when the gospel comes into the heart, and the Holy Spirit takes it home to the heart, and that individual takes Christ as their Lord and Savior. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, an unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Verse 23, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." There are a number of miracles that are mentioned in the section of Scripture that we read this morning. In fact, no one gets into the family of God. No one comes out of darkness to light. No one is birthed into God's family unless some miracles transpire in that person's heart. And the miracles that are before us today have very much to do with this special day here at Unity Baptist Church. And so I want to preach about that subject this morning on "It Took a Miracle." Let's pray. Father, we want to say we love you. We thank you for the word of God and the house of God. Thank you, God, for this good place of worship. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here at Unity Baptist Church. I pray you touch hearts. Lord, no doubt in a congregation this size, there may be someone who's never experienced the miracle of the new birth. Yet, Lord, we pray that today will be the glad day they come to Christ and are born of God. Help us to pace ourselves so we can convey clearly the truth of God. Ask you, God, to take this book in the power of the Holy Spirit and allow someone to come to Christ Jesus today in salvation. Thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us. Most of all, may you get glory and honor out of everything that's been done already, all the way through the culmination of the service, through the last amen. And we'll thank you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you look down at 1 Peter chapter number 1, in this section, Peter is addressing those that the Bible said in the first verse that were strangers scattered throughout this area of the country, and he's addressing them concerning the truth of salvation. He reveals in verse 18 and 19 the price of salvation. I'm glad that salvation has been purchased by Christ at Calvary. I like what the lady sung just a moment ago when they said, "I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe in the Savior who died there. I believe that His blood is what it takes for you to have your sins washed away. I still believe that it takes red blood to wash scarlet sins and make you and I white as snow. And so I believe that the purchase of our salvation is here, and the price of the new birth and our salvation is here," in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And then in the following text, in verse 22, all the way through the end of the chapter, I believe that Peter is revealing us how the Spirit of God and the Word of God come together to produce the miracle of God's salvation in the hearts of those who turn to Christ and are born of God. Now, I want to say that this great truth of God's salvation is the most amazing truth that is found in the Bible. God had a plan for you before you ever came to this world, before your birthday, even before your mother and father were born. God had already had a plan so that you could be saved by grace through faith. Verse 20 said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last time for you. I'm glad that before Adam ever sinned, that God had already had a plan for Adam's salvation, that through his shed blood and his finished work at Calvary, that everyone that would come to Christ could be gloriously and wonderfully born of God. I still believe that no matter who you are or where you have been or what your record is at the courthouse or what your background is or what side of town that you live on, I still believe that the gospel is still good news. I still believe that the grace of God can still bring you out no matter where you've been, and that the blood of Christ can still save you and wash you whiter than snow. And so God had a plan in salvation. Not only that, Christ came and purchased it on the cross of Calvary. I'm glad that Jesus came and that he didn't just come to be a baby swaddled in a manger. He didn't just come to change the water to wine and open blinded eyes and raise the dead. But thank God Jesus Christ shed his blood on a cross, and God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And God put from heaven the most valuable treasure that heaven had to offer. And the Bible said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Jesus purchased our salvation through his blood there at Calvary. And God provided it through the scriptures. The Bible reveals that in verse 22 through the end of the chapter. And so mankind can have redemption by blood. Not only that, can have regeneration, or the life of God in the soul of man, the new birth. Being born again is what Peter called it here in verse number 23. And the Bible reveals here that you and I can be born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Now I want to say that God presents two miracles in this section of the Bible. Without one, the other would not be possible. And I want to say that without a miracle book, a miracle birth cannot be possible. And yet on the pages of the Bible, in 1 Peter 1:23, the Bible said that you and I are not born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so to believe the Bible is to believe in certain miracles that brought this book to us today. I want to say without a doubt, I am very glad that God has allowed us as the English-speaking people to have his inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved word to English-speaking people in the King James Bible. But I believe to believe the Bible is to believe, first of all, in the miracle of inspiration. It's absolutely a miracle when you realize that God who is infinite and that God who is absolutely perfect, absolutely holy, absolutely righteous, and he's absolutely higher than you and I could ever imagine. If that same God, the Bible said, would move holy men of old, that holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they penned down the very Word of God. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that God has given this book by inspiration, that God inspired the scripture writers so that they penned down the very Word of God. David even said in the near context where we were in Sunday school, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, he said, the Spirit of God spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And so I believe that God supernaturally superintended the writers of scripture so that even though Moses was not out there in Genesis chapter 1 that God gave him an accurate record of how this world came into existence. I still believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so I believe in the miracle of inspiration that when Moses and Daniel and Zechariah and Isaiah in the Old Testament penned down under the influence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they penned down the very words of God. And so I say that to believe the Bible is to believe in the miracle of inspiration. And then secondly, to believe the Bible aright is also to believe in the miracle of preservation. Preservation. Now, it's amazing to me, Brother Mark, how that God has taken this Bible, written down and penned down by over 40 authors, over 1,500 years of time, so that John the Beloved penned down the last book from the Isle of Patmos around the early 90s A.D. after Christ went back to heaven. And so you and I have today in our hands, my friend, 66 marvelous books, over 31,000 verses in this Bible, and yet not one mistake and not one error and not one contradiction. I want to say I've been saved now for 42 years. This April, I've been studying it book by book and verse by verse and line by line. I've never read one thing that caused me to doubt it, but every day when I study it, every day when I get into it, thank God, and it gets into me. I want to say I love God's wonderful book, Divine. I bless His name this morning that God has preserved it from Genesis to Revelation. Not only has He preserved it in its inspiring and its penning, but also He brought it to you and I so that you and I have the Word of God in the English language. So David said this in Psalm 12. He said, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." I believe that God has preserved His Word for English-speaking people in this King James Bible. I believe that Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away." I believe this Bible is God's inspired, infallible Word. I believe He preserved it. I believe it's an absolute miracle that He brought it from that generation to this generation. And I'm here in February of 2024 preaching to you about one of the greatest miracles of all time, how God inspired it, how God preserved it, how God brought it to you and I. It's a miracle book, hallelujah, that's been brought to us, amen. So I say to you this morning, I'm glad I believe in the miracle of inspiration. I'm glad I believe in the miracle of preservation. And there's a lot more I could say about that, but I need to move on. I also believe in the miracle of illumination. For many years, the Bible was a closed book to me. I could not understand its message for many years. It was a puzzle. It was an anomaly. I could not grasp the words that God put in His book until someone told me the story of Jesus and His love, until someone introduced me to the altar. And so now I still believe in the miracle of illumination, is that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, takes this book and makes it known to mankind. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that I understood the gospel, the good news of Christ. And thank God on that day when I got acquainted and I came into a personal relationship with the altar. Thank God now I've been enjoying it for almost 42 wonderful years. And so the first miracle, the miracle of inspiration, reveals to you and I how God brought His book from Himself to mankind. The miracle of inspiration reveals how God brings His book to mankind. Secondly, the miracle of preservation reveals how God has kept His word from generation to generation. You say, preacher, there's a new version coming out even now. I know all about it. Now you say, what do you think about it? Stay away from it. Stay with the King James Bible. Listen, friend, Granny used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen. Just stay with the Bible. You'll be glad that you did. And then, thank God, I'm glad that third miracle, how he has revealed it so you and I can understand it. And so I believe that the Bible is a miracle book. I could tell you many ways that the Bible reveals and many passages through the scripture reveals how the Bible is a miracle book. First of all, I'd say the ministry of it reveals to you and I that it's a miracle book. Verse 22, it's purifying. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, an unfeigned love of the brethren. He said that the scriptures in verse 25 is how the gospel is preached unto mankind. Now, how do we know Christ died? We know Christ died because of the scriptures. How do we know that he rose? We know because Old Testament prophecy reveals that Christ would rise from the dead. And that New Testament fulfillment is documented. There's at least 33 prophecies that are fulfilled on the cross of Calvary. But I want to say that this book is a miracle book because of the ministry of it. In fact, it comes to the souls of men. And by the purifying work of the Son of God, the souls of men are purified. Nobody's saved without the truth of the scriptures. In fact, the Bible said, this book is like a washing water. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, it's by the washing of the water, by the word. I'm glad, hallelujah, that the Bible is still able to purify the souls of men and is still able to make the unclean souls of men and women pure. And so we're reminded of the purifying effect of the scripture, the ministry of it. Peter said, it purifies your soul. Now, what will the Bible do? The Bible can make the blasphemer a person who wants to speak honorably before God and men. Paul said, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Thank God the Bible will purify the blasphemer's mouth. What can the Bible do for the drunkard? Thank God the Bible can get the drunkard off 100 proof and put him on living water. I'm telling you, the Bible can take that person that's impure and vile and wicked, that street walker at night that's down on the corner. Thank God the Bible can make that young lady pure. And the Bible can make that man that's wicked and crooked and vile and without Christ. I'm thankful the Bible in its ministry can purify the souls of men. I want to say that there's nothing like the cleansing work of God's precious word. I never desired to be clean. I never wanted to be clean until I came in contact with God's holy word. And yet I say to you today, thank God it gets me cleaner and cleaner, and I feel better and better. Thank God for the ministry of God's miracle book divine. Secondly, not only the ministry of it, but also the might of it. The Bible said in verse 22, seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You see, there are two agents that are involved in the salvation of mankind, the Spirit of God and the Scriptures. The Scriptures and the Spirit of God. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The water is the water of God's word. I realize that some men believe it's the water of the first birth. I want to say that's redundant. A man who has been born the first time needs to be born again. And he's born through the influence of the Scripture and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and he brings that person to their realization that they need Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that takes the Holy Scriptures and causes a person to recognize their lost condition. It's the Holy Spirit through the Holy Scriptures that causes that person to realize that they can't go to heaven like they are. It's the Holy Spirit that reaches out there in the far country and said to the prodigal, oh, you've come a long way, the wrong way. And about that time, the Bible said he came to himself. And he said, I will arise and go to my father
and say to my Father, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy. And about that time, he dropped that old pail in the hog pen, and he hopped the rail and headed down the trail to the Father's house. Oh, what is it that causes a person to turn from their sin and turn to Christ? It's the power of the Holy Spirit through the power of the Word of God. Now listen carefully. I still believe that the might of the Scripture can bring you to Christ. In fact, there are drunkards here today that have been made sober through the power of Christ. There are drug addicts and former drug dealers that are here this morning that used to make their living not by 9 to 5, but from day to day by peddling the poison of the streets. And yet those drug dealers have come out of an addict's life and out of an illegitimate lifestyle, selling poison on the streets. And thank God now they're drinking living water and they're singing the praises of a Savior who went to Calvary and rose again. I'm telling you about someone through His power that can make you pure and call you to repentance and cause you to obey the truth of God and say yes to God and no to Satan. I'm talking about a miracle book. It's able to do what no book is able to do. I'm glad the Bible still got power and the Scriptures can still change your life. I was in the Anson County Jail and I just came into the very area where you go back to the different cell blocks. But as you go into the jail at that time, they were holding cells all along the hall. Singular holding cells. A lot of jails are built that way. Concord Jail years ago was like that. And I was there, and this man came to the bars, and he grabbed the bars. He said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "I am, a preacher of the gospel." And he said, "Could you do something for me?" I said, "I will if I can." He said, "Would you get me a Bible?" He said, "I don't own a Bible." And I thought, man, you just asked me to do the thing I absolutely love to do. Amen. I absolutely love to give people a Bible. And so I got him a Bible. I said, "Now, there's a man in our church who's the head jailer." And I said, "He'll bring this Bible to you and give this Bible to you." And he gave that man the Bible. And the next time we were to go in the cell block and preach, he was in that same holding cell. But I remember him coming to the bars and looking at me. He said, "Preacher," he said, "you gave me that Bible." I said, "I sure did. Did you get it?" His eyes got real big. He said, "Yes, I've been reading it." He said, "This book knows all about me." I said, "Yes, it does." He said, "This book knows all about me." I thank God that it can not only tell you about your past, it can tell you about your sins, but thank God it can also tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It makes no difference if you've been to the jailhouse or to the White House. It makes no difference if you lived on the back streets or uptown. This Bible is still a miracle book that can do what no other book can do. Then not only is there a miracle book, but there's also a miracle birth. Peter said, being born again. Now, I know that certain Hollywood stars and other politicians and all kinds of liars say they're born again. But I want to say they didn't coin the term. Jesus Christ said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." He said, "If you expect to go to heaven, you're going to have to get born again. And if you're going to get born again, you're going to have the miracle book to have a miracle birth." You say, "Preacher, why do you make so much about the Bible?" I make so much ado about the Bible because the Bible is so important that a person cannot get saved unless they have the Word of God. So twice in this first chapter, Peter addresses the idea that men and women can be born again. Verse 3 of chapter 1, look at it with me for just a second. Verse 3, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Begotten us again, same type of language. Born again is what Peter said. And he heard first about Christ from Andrew and came to Christ and was born again. And now he said that you and I that come to Jesus are begotten again unto a lively hope.
In verse 23, he said, being born again. And so he's addressing the great truth of salvation. Now I want to say this. The great truth of salvation is addressed by the miracle book, by the virtue of the Bible itself. The scripture said, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, if I said to some of you ladies about a certain ingredient in your kitchen, is this real vanilla flavoring? Real chocolate chips? Now, you'd ask a woman what chocolate is. She knows all about chocolate. They know about these ingredients. And a woman can lift the lid on a container and tell you if it has been corrupted. Sometimes you don't even have to lift the lid. Sometimes you just open the refrigerator door and say, oh my, something in there is in bad shape. But Peter uses the word incorruptible, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. There are three times in this first chapter he uses the word incorruptible. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 4, he said, our inheritance to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Our inheritance is incorruptible. So our inheritance is incorruptible. And those who have been saved can expect to meet their inheritance when they get to heaven. Not only are we saved for heaven, we'll be saved until we get to heaven. And then not only this inheritance that's incorruptible, but I believe the blood is incorruptible. The Bible said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. So by implication, we're not redeemed by any redemption money that was dug out of the earth. We're not redeemed by any price that could be paid according to the Old Testament law. Oh, but we were redeemed by the incorruptible blood of Christ. That blood that he paid at Calvary was not like anybody else's blood. Thank God for the incorruptible blood of Christ. Verse 23, the Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So that the Bible is said to be incorruptible seed. Now I know there are preachers that don't believe this, but I'm going to tell you, to believe the Bible is to believe that this book is incorruptible seed. The Bible does not just contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And you and I, if we cannot trust the Bible, then we can have no assurance that we're going to heaven. But the Scriptures are incorruptible seed. So the biblical imagery is this, is that people do not get born again unless they have incorruptible seed. And that wonderful imagery is of a seed that is a product and it's a producer. It's a life giver and it's a life changer. Brother Mike Urie, God willing, hopefully will be here tonight. His sister called me one day and said, preacher, say, Dad's got some corn in and he wants you to come down here to the house. And she said, before he got saved, she said, preacher, said, Daddy ain't never cared anything about any preachers, but he wants you to come down here and get some of this corn. And I went down there and I got to talking to him. And he said that seed had come from the mountains of North Carolina and that every year he had dried corn so they could have that seed so it could be planted from generation to generation. He said, preacher, as far as I know, nobody else in this whole area has any seed like this. Boy, I tell you, it sure was good after I got it boiled up. I got a stick of butter and a salt shaker. Somebody help me preach a little bit. It sure was good when I got it all cooked up. Thank God. I said, hallelujah. Somebody preserve the seed so I could have it for another generation. Amen. But I'll tell you this, this Bible is called incorruptible seed. And God has preserved it so you and I could have the Word of God. And the Scriptures are both life-giving and life-producing. They're life-giving and life-changing. God allows the seed of His Word to be planted in our heart. I was telling our seed sowers yesterday as we met to go out and share the gospel with others. About a man that's been visiting this church. He's sick this morning. But his testimony is this. I was in the airport in the army. And he said, my brother and I were transferring from one duty station to another. He said, I walked out there in that staging area. And on the table at one of those seats was a booklet that was written by Oliver B. Green. And on the front of it, it said, me a fool. He said, I sat down there and I picked it up and I said, I wonder what this says. And I got inside of it, started reading the Word of God. And when I got the Word of God planted in my heart, the Holy Spirit started showing me that I needed to be saved. And some weeks after that, he said, we went to a church off base and said, myself and my brother both trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. This Bible's got such power that you and I can come from death to life. And that man's been living for God and serving Jesus all these years. I say, hallelujah. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, their spirit and their life. So in this section, let me say this book is purifying. Number two, in verse 23, it's powerful. It produces the new birth. Number three, it's permanent. The Bible said in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So the virtue of the Bible is that it is incorruptible seed. The value of it is that it produces the birth that brings us into the family of God. Our first birth was produced by corruptible seed. Every one of us came from the same place, not from a monkey swinging by his tail, but from Adam and Eve. And from their fall, you and I are also sinners, born sinners. We chose to sin willfully. And without Christ, we'll have to pay the wages of our own sins, which is eternity apart from God in hell and then the lake of fire. So the Bible teaches us our second birth was produced by incorruptible seed. The Word of God and the transformation that it brings causes us now to choose to live right before God, and our destination is heaven. I say that to say that this Bible and the value of it is recognized when we realize the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and produces the new birth in a person's heart. I said that you and I have a miracle book, and that miracle book produces a miracle birth. Amen. The stories have been told time and time again. The Bible's such an amazing book, and it does an amazing work. A miracle book produces a miraculous birth. Years ago, in a place called Zimbabwe, a skeptic told a man named Gaylord Kambarai. He told this man, who was the general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe, that man who was the secretary said, I want to give you a Bible. And the man said, if you give me that Bible, in this case, it was a New Testament in his language. He said, if you give me that Bible, he said, I'll tear the pages out and I'll roll them up as cigarettes and smoke them. He said, I'm just going to give you the Bible. He said, but at least if you take the Bible, read the pages before you smoke them. And so he gave the man the Bible. And for years, he did not see that man again. He agreed upon taking the Bible in his hands that he'd read every page before he smoked them. So years went by. And Gaylord Kambarai was in a conference in Zimbabwe. The speaker on the platform looked out in the front and saw him there. He said, there's a man here today that 15 years ago gave me a Bible. He said, 15 years ago, there's a man here and I hadn't seen him since. He said, he gave me a Bible and I told him that I would smoke every page if he gave it to me. He said, I smoked Matthew and I smoked Mark
and I smoked Luke. He said, but when I got to John and got to John 3:16, he said, John 3:16 transformed my life. He said, I've been a brand new person ever since. And now he's an evangelist preaching the glorious gospel of Christ. Oh, I want to tell you, this Bible still got power, and the gospel that's in it has still got power. And you and I that are here today are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ preaching a miracle book. Hallelujah. So I say to you today, oh my, there's a miracle book that produces a miracle birth. And I believe this today. I believe he wants to do that miracle today. I believe if you come to take Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe today Jesus would save you right where you are. Oh yes, I believe he would. And I believe that Jesus Christ has given us the gospel. At the close of this chapter, Peter said, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So I'm talking about the good news of the gospel is connected to this great book, this miracle book that God allowed us to have. Is the most amazing book in all the world. There are countries where it's illegal. But I want to tell you, here in America, we're still preaching it. God's still giving us freedom here in America. As long as he does, by God's grace, and even afterwards, I pray we'll stay faithful to it. But if you're here today and you can't say, preacher, I know I've been born again. If you can't say, preacher, I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place. I know the time that I got saved. I know where I got saved. I know how I got saved. I know who saved me. I didn't get saved by having some water sprinkled on my head. I didn't get saved because I joined the church and shake the preacher's hand. I got saved because I realized that I was a sinner and Christ died for me. I got saved because I realized that Christ paid for my sins on the cross and that he purchased salvation as a gift of God. And because of that, I came to Jesus Christ. I asked him to forgive me and asked him to come into my heart and save me. So this miracle book can produce a miracle birth in your heart and life. It may be that you're here today and you say, preacher, I can't really say that. I remember my life was filled with all types of things, but salvation was not one of them. I came to Jesus because somebody brought me the gospel through this miracle book. Then on the day that I trusted him, I came back to church the next service. They said, do you have a Bible? I said, I don't have a Bible. They said, I'm going to give you a Bible. And they gave me one of the greatest gifts outside of Christ you could ever receive, my first Bible. I'm not ashamed to admit, I stood there and I held it in my hand. To me, it was the greatest gift I could get outside of Jesus. And I'm thankful this book is still the most important book to my life. Let me ask you this. Do you know you're going to heaven today? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Listen, our church exists here in this community to point people to Christ. That's why we're here. We're here to show people Jesus and to point them towards heaven. And to tell you this truth, Jesus said it himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you could get to heaven on your own, if you could get to heaven because you took a little wafer on your tongue, if you could get to heaven by being a Baptist, Jesus would have never came to this world to die on an old rugged cross. But what he did is he sent the miracle son who died on the cross and rose again, then sent the miracle book, and then said you can be born again, have a miracle birth if you come to him and trust him and him alone. And I didn't know enough about the Bible. I didn't know hardly anything about it when I came to him. But I'm going to tell you, when Charlie Gibson opened that book and he turned to that last scripture, Brother Mark, when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He said, you see that? I said, I do. He said that whosoever, he said, look at that, Tommy. I looked down at it. He said, that's you. And when he said, that's you, the Holy Spirit said, he's right. Jesus died for you. For the first time in my life, a young man in the Bible Belt found out that Jesus died for him, not just for the whole world, but for him. Got on my knees that morning, not even knowing how to pray, cried out to God for God to save me. And today, that miracle birth is just as good as it was the day I got saved.
Let's stand with our heads bowed. The musicians are going to come.